good evening, and this is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impulga. This evening we'll talk about the recent election in the DRC. And joining us in studio here is Mr. Antal Almasi. He's former president of the National Association of African Catholics in the U.S. He's a specialist currently in governance and capacity development. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You're very much welcome. Joining us from New York is Mr. Kambale Musavuli. He's a native of the DR Congo and one of the leading political and cultural Congolese voices. He's a human rights advocate and national spokesperson for the Friends of the Congo. Welcome to the show, Mr. Kambale.
Thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. And joining us also is our sister from, Fort Worth, Texas. She's Solange Kalala, a native of DR Congo, currently residing in the U.S. Welcome to the show, Ms. Kalala.
Thank you for having me.
You're very much welcome. I said, gentlemen and the lady, our topic tonight is about events in the DR Congo. Today, the new DR Congo president, Felix Tshisekedi, was sworn in. He was declared the winner of the election, which was held on December 30th, but was delayed several times. Runner-up Martin Fayulu has contested the result, saying Kabila conspired with the Electoral Commission to give victory to Mr. Tshisekedi. Now, what do I start? Let me start here in studio with Mr. Kalala. First of all, this must be a milestone for a peaceful change of leadership in DR Congo.
Yes. Despite everything that has gone on, despite all the irregularities and everything, and whatever we had deplored in this process, I think the Congolese should be proud of the fact that for the first time in almost 59 years, there's been that transfer of power peacefully from one president who's going out to another who's coming in.
I see.
I believe that should be something that they should be proud of.
Yes. Mr. Musavuli, do you think this could be a re-change for the DR Congo?
Oh, that is to see. I mean, the president now, Felix Tshisekedi, has a lot of work to do. While Congolese have to celebrate this first possession of power, the victory really goes to the people. I mean, there was we were not even sure who would have the election. Many Congolese lost their lives, put their feet on the streets to make sure that it takes place. But now the struggle is beyond presidential power. You know, as you may know, the legislative and the provincial governments are still controlled by the Kabila regime, which will make it hard for the current president to govern. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's still to see what will be unfolding in years to come. It is a positive outcome that there was a peaceful possession of power, but the struggle for the Congolese people to have their voice heard, to have their will respected, is still ongoing.
I see. Solange, these people seem to agree that there's some hope over there. And Mr. Kambale here refers to the will of the people. Some section of the people didn't even vote. Are the people, the Congolese people, real happy that this process was fine for them?
I don't think that everybody could be happy about how other people didn't vote, but we are looking at the result. Whatever the result is, we have to look forward to see how the Congo can progress, how they can be unified, they can be united together, so that they can build a strong Congo. So let's see, as Mr. Kambale said.
I
know it's going to be hard for the president, but with everybody put together, I think something can be possible.
I see. Mr. Kambale, she talks there about unifying the people, and that's a tall order to achieve at this point in time, given the process that led to this change.
Yeah, I mean, I probably have to break down even why I'm sharing this, right? In any democratic country, rule of law and good governance is important, and truth is an essential part of justice. We are in a position where they want the world to believe that the Congolese people went to the poll and voted for a president, part of the opposition, and on the same day, voted for the Kabila regime to stay in power. I mean, think about the context. They control the provincial government, which means that they can elect the senators. And having senators there, and Kabila being senator for life, he will now be a senator within the government. There is a chance that he could be the head of the Senate. Why is that important? For anyone who have watched the inauguration today, I'm not wishing ill on the current president, but if he is incapacitated in any way, the head of the Senate becomes the president. Mm-hmm. So we can see that the struggle is not over. When we're talking about the National Assembly, that the National Assembly has the power to nominate the prime minister. The current majority in the parliament is also the Kabila regime. So we see that the Kabila regime that the Congolese have fought very hard for 2 years has remained in place. That is why I'm saying, wow, it is a positive outcome that there was a peaceful possession of power. The will of the Congolese has not been respected, not because I'm saying that, but because 40,000 Congolese observers on the ground saw that the result didn't reflect. But we have moved on from that, and that's why I'm saying the Congolese must remain vigilant, must continue to fight. We have begun a new day, but we must make sure that the system of predation that existed in the Congo for the past 2 decades comes to an end, where the interest of the Congolese people is put at the forefront, not the interest of a small elite who wants to control the country.
Yes, it's good that he mentions that point. Many observers point to that effect, and some are worried that maybe the system may not change, just the movement of chairs at the top. Do you share that view?
To some extent, yes, but it doesn't bother me.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I work in governance, and we have known systems where here in the United States, Obama was president. He had the parliament that did not belong to his party.
Mm.
At that point, it forces each and everyone to govern and to be, I guess, to have the best interest of the people at heart.
Mm.
Now, true, it's not going to be easy for Felix Tshisekedi as he starts. Right, but I'm hoping that he comes in here with a vision, with a strategy, and also that all of a sudden he realizes, well, what I hoped for is not what I get. Now, how am I going to work with that? So I say it doesn't bother me in the sense that, I have seen other places on earth that has dealt with this. Now, should we be concerned in a country like the DRC? Certainly, because this is something they have not seen. We also know that, on a single thing, either Kabila or his people can switch, can switch off on him, and we get back into this what I call chaos that that we have known, etc. But at this particular point, and I'm gonna call on my fellow analysts, right, to say, be careful what you pray for, because the more we put it there, it can be, yes, we're telling people pay attention, but let's not make it so that it becomes the reality that we don't want to see.
I see. Let's get the view from Solange there. What do you think? Do you think that the two people may be not different in their governance, since, as Mr. Kambale said, they could be, in the bed, sort of, politically? Or do you think...
I think I can join Mr. Alimasi, what he said, Mr. Kabila can steal around, and he might have a word to say on the political matters, but he's not the one that's leading now. It depends on the strategies that Mr. Felix Tshisekedi will have in place, and what the people will have around. So we cannot just say that that's not going to work. But I think, let's see, 5 years is a lot. In 5 years, a lot of things can change. A lot of things can change, and people can change also. We could know that one day Mr. Kabila could step down, or he can let somebody else just leave the country. It was impossible in a year, but today something happened. So we're going to take one step after another one. So for me, I think I'm positive. I think that it will be hard, but something can happen and something positive.
Yeah, you sound optimistic. Kambale, let's briefly talk about the role of the church, Catholic Church especially, in this election and this process of transition from one president to another. What's your take?
I think it needs to also be put in the context when we speak about the Catholic Church. I'm assuming you're referring to the CENCO, the Conference of Catholic Bishops.
Correct.
Their role in every election in DRC has been about making sure that the truth in the process is presented. Mm-hmm. It has been key in 2006. They did the same in 2011, and they did also the same now in 2018, but having observers. Mm-hmm. They've been the only institution within the Congo to be able to be at the vast majority of the polling station. So they are not a partisan institution. They try the best to mm-hmm. make sure to present what the facts are. Mm-hmm. To just interject about the comments of our colleagues, mm-hmm. I think it's really important for us to contextualize what is happening in the DRC. I am with them in terms of the optimism, but we must remember that in 2006, we were told that Congolese need to wait 5 years for change. They did wait for 5 years. In 2011, Congolese in mass demonstrated inside and outside of the Congo when there was a rigged election at the time. What was said back then again was that wait 5 years, Kabila will leave power. But we saw at the end of his term that he literally refused to leave power. So whenever we say that it was impossible for him to leave power, we must recognize that this is a victory of the Congolese people. With the feats and the numbers, they forced him not to run again. So now that we have this situation, right, we are now setting a precedent three times where the truth of the poll is relegated to a management of a crisis, which tells me, let's say in 5 years from now, if we come up with the same issue, we will give again an excuse. I'm worried that the electoral machines were hacked to be able to get data. That's something that should worry everyone, that in the electoral process, someone can be able to have the raw data of the machine. And I'm worried that when there are Congolese who are saying that there is a problem with this process, that we are not finding solutions to resolve the issue, that the results are not true. Mm-hmm. So we can take the 5 years, but it's a symptomatic solution to the core problem. That since 1960, the Congolese have not been able to elect freely with honesty and truth who their leaders will be. And if we continue in that route, for anyone who follow governance, you know that you are setting up the country in a process where there will not be truth in the future because they'll use the same excuse. Well, in 2018, you didn't say anything about this issue. In 2011 and so on. So that's why it's important, while some are moving forward to the process, mm-hmm. to still come back to the issue that the current president will not be able to govern the country because he does not have reign and control of state institution that is still part of the Kabila machine.
Your reaction, Mr. Man?
Yeah, let me, before I talk about the CENCO, which was your question, quickly, let's be, follow the facts. Mm. True, people did not believe him, but Kabila has been telling them that he was going to respect the Constitution. Mm. Whether somewhere, someplace, whatever happened, right? So at one point, I believe that we as Congolese will have to start saying, yeah, I was mistaken there. And I wasted my time, running after a hare that was not really the one I should be running after. That's the first part. The second part, at this particular point, as a Catholic leader in this country, I am not at all happy with what the CENCO has done at this point. In 2006 and 2011, Yes, they played the role we expect them to play. In this process, they became part of the game. They became players. They wanted a place in this thing. They talked about, I mean, being part of that CNCA.
Yeah.
And that's not good. And to me, to see where we are, the Catholic Church in this particular process has been part of the problem. I mean, let's be categorical. I want my church to want the truth. And but let's also tell them when they make a mistake that this part was a mistake. And I hope really, as Kambale has just said, that we're going to study what happened, that we're going to learn the lessons of you know, what went wrong here, so that 5 years from now, we don't repeat the same thing. 2011, people said that, you know, Kabila has cheated, has rigged the process. Nobody bothered to find out how he rigged, you know, the process.
I see.
So now, nobody knew where to catch him, I think.
I see. Let's find out from Solange. What did you, what's your take on the process itself and the role of the Catholic bishops?
The, both the process and the role of the Catholic Church were wrong at some point, as both the panelists that said we need to see where are the mistakes. In 2011, something happened. Nobody raised his voice to say this is exactly what happened. Why now they want to raise their voice? It's just, if it's a church, the church needs to be in the middle. You cannot be part of one side and then leave the other one. So at this point, Catholic, the Franco also need to make people in peace, to help people to be together so that we can go forward and build a strong country and strong opposition, because both leaders were from the opposition. This is the win of the opposition, the win of the people of the Congo. At least at this time we have Kabila out, then we need to be strong together so that we can go forward.
I see. Now, for those joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about the recent elections in DR Congo and the inauguration of a new president there. Our panelists are Kambale Masavuli, Solange Kalala, and Antal Alimasi, who is a specialist in governance and capacity development. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One in Washington. Now, let's move on. I think I should begin here in studio. Congo's issue has been partly the responsibility or the caused by the local leadership in the Congo, but mainly through the international community and foreigners who have, right, beginning way back in Leopold time when they looted, killed, and that system to some people has continued. Despite what has happened now, how do you see that interference stopping or ending?
Well, the thing is that, first of all, we have to point the fingers on at our leaders. In this particular case, it will be, well, the past, which was the Mobutu regime. Now, I mean, next it was the Kabila father, you know, regime. And now it's the son. At one particular moment, they thought that bowing to the will of the interests of the West was going to make, you know, them do a good job. So if we look at it from that position, right, then we will start saying, well, maybe that was not a good thing. Maybe we should, you know, step back. And maybe to his credit, and people has not done so, the new mining code, right, that was enacted last year, has been actually the main, you know, problem that Kabila has encountered with the West. And so I'm a little bit glad that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he came out of, you know, his shell and say, hey, this is for the Congolese people. I hope that the new president will take that mantle and say it's for the Congolese people to benefit from the riches of their country. That's one thing. And I hope too because these elections have been funded, by the Congolese government itself.
Right.
And I hope we're never going to go back to going and, begging for people to come help us.
Mm.
And that if they are going to keep talking sovereignty, that's where they start.
I see. Solange, do you share that view or give us your point on the fear that the foreign interference may mess things up?
I think we need to build our country by ourselves right now. We want help, but we want them to step aside a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
They need to work with us, but not be too part of it. They have their hands on too much.
I see. Kambale, you've been an activist on this issue. What's your take? Most people know you by your effort in trying to fight this, what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I mean, for the foreseeable future, because of where Congo is placed in the world, we will have outside interference. Congolese have to know we are home to the world's cobalt.
Mm.
We have the coltan, we have the gold.
Mm.
As Alimasi just pointed out earlier about the challenges, or say the lack of understanding of how Congo was important from our leaders, have actually affected the population. But the Congolese people as a whole have been fighting to gain control of the country.
Mm.
And I personally believe that Congo, because of its wealth, will not be free if Africans are not engaged in it. Africans should be looking at the Congo from the context of Kwame Nkrumah. He understood that if the Congolese people had control of their land and their resources, it will help in the development of the African continent. But that is not usually how it is seen. So whenever I was just speaking this week to some of my friends from Zimbabwe who were sharing with me how the internet was cut off in the country, and I had to share with them, Congolese have become experts of using internet whenever the government shuts down their internet. It will be good for Congolese and Zimbabweans to work together.
Mm.
So it is essential for the liberation of the Congolese to be tied to the liberation of African countries, and for Africans to not look at the Congo as a problem for the Congolese themselves. That they must engage just as they engage to bring an end to apartheid. They should engage in the Congo in making sure that the Congolese, as they choose their leader, as they engage in controlling the country, that they will are respected.
Yeah, the trouble, we're running out of time, but I'll throw this one across the table to all of you. You talk of Africans helping and helping Congo retain its independence and all that. Some of African neighbors are actually the cause. They are used. Their militias along some of Congolese borders are by neighboring countries. So how do you handle that? Because they are not working in unison with the DR Congo government. They are working against the government itself. Kambale, go ahead. Yes.
I mean, that's why I use the example of the anti-apartheid movement. It's a people-to-people engagement that needs to happen. I mean, think about it. The African dictators have created a club, and the club is called the African Union.
Yes.
They have no problem working together.
Mm.
They set up meeting in Addis Ababa. They talk about the Congo. They figure out solutions. And each one of them has energy interests in the Congo. In the case of South Africa, they have Glencore and different mining interests.
Mm-hmm.
But when South Africans were protesting at Eskom, Eskom being acquired by Glencore in South Africa, and the workers who are in South Africa demanding fair wage and labors, do they understand the government's role in the DRC? So if they start working together, it's a people's movement that's essential. It will happen. But what is clear, not one African country can do it alone.
Yes.
We hear Togolese organized to change the country, but they don't have the support of the masses. We hear Zimbabwe, and we hear the Congo, and that is important for the ordinary citizen on the African continent to get engaged, because if it's not happening in your country, it's only a matter of time that it happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is solidarity, it makes it harder to actually affect each and every country on the African continent.
It's interesting mentioning African neighbor countries. Some of the African dictators actually didn't recognize Tshisekedi's win.
Correct. And I think that gives us maybe a glimmer of hope, really, because we saw how all of a sudden what Kambale has called these leaders who come together in Addis Ababa and decide this is what we're going to do for it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, and it gives the glimmer of hope is this. It met with maybe a Congolese government that was not going to listen to that rubbish for the first time.
Mm.
And they said, no. And all of a sudden, we found out that, oh, by the way, it was not really the AU which decided, but it was these presidents who have said, and now they're trying to co-opt it as the AU
position.
That's the first part. The second part, we directly saw some of the other countries coming and say, no, actually, we do not want, you know, this to be, and they showed their cards.
Mm.
Moreover, if you have been following the African radios or TVs and things like that, all of a sudden, these people start chastising the AU, chastising their cooperation and allegiance to the European Union.
Yeah.
And things, no, that's not how it should be done. And I think that's what Kambale is talking about here.
Mm.
Meaning that all of a sudden, if the people in a country show that basically at this point we are not, you know, working with what is being yet thrown to us, they are going to find people outside of the country who think like them, who feel like them, who wants this Africa to be independent, really. And I think that's where the model can start, you know, working.
Yeah, Solange, briefly, I'm referring to you because I've seen in the eastern part of the country, women have suffered a lot as a result of these neighboring countries interfering there.
Yes. I think this will be really overturned if those these other countries from Africa understand that Congo needs help, not to be beside them so that we can help those women not to suffer the way they are suffering. And I think that should be also one of the first things the new president should deal with, to make sure that those women that have been suffering for more than 20 years can have a little peace and also live the life as it's supposed to be. And no one is supposed to come out of the country and tell us what to do.
Mm.
And if I have to join all my other people that have talked before me, this is the time that all Congolese and other countries also open the eyes to see that exactly what our neighbors have been doing against the Congo and who are with us and who are not.
That's okay. We're out of time, but Solange, are you in a word? Are you optimistic things will be good?
I am, yes, I am optimistic that things will be good, but it's going to be a little hard. So it takes all the village to work together so that we can be.
Almasi, are you optimistic?
I've always been optimistic about the Congo.
Kambale, are things looking up?
Well, I will always be optimistic, as my Congolese compatriots have shared. But
yeah,
I will always remind the people that the struggle continues for a free and liberated Congo.
Yes, indeed. Some people have said this is just the beginning. What comes out of this process may define DR Congo for the future. Well, gentlemen, we are running out of time. That about wraps up for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Kambale Musavuli, a human rights advocate and national spokesperson for the Friends of Congo; Solange Kalala, a native of DR Congo, now resident in Fort Worth, Texas; and Ntal Almasi, a former president of the National Association of African Catholics in the U.S., and now currently a specialist in governance and capacity development. Gentlemen and ladies, thanks very much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer was Michael Dubinsky. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at voanews.com. Click on Reporters Roundtable and you can listen to it. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks for tuning in, and until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Mpuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.
This is VOA News.